أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ادع إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. وقال أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام: طوبى لمن أطاع ناصحا يهديه، طوبى لمن أطاع ناصحا يهديه وتجنب غاويا يرديه. صلوات. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding his beloved prophet in this ayat, which I recited in the beginning of my speech, to invite towards the path of Allah, ila sabil rabbika, through hikmat, the wisdom, and through maw'idha and nasihat. And we can understand that one of the very effective tools for inviting people towards Allah is to advise them and do nasihat and maw'idha and wa'ad. And it is considered to be a sign of khair and goodness. If there is any mu'min who is ready to listen to the maw'idha and nasihat, it is a sign of khair and goodness found in his spirituality. There is no stage in our life, there is no way a person like us who are infallible, who are not infallible and fallible human beings, who are not ma'soom, not infallible, there is no stage in our life that we, the entire humankind, we, I mean all the humans, other than the ma'sumeen alayhim salatu wassalam, all the humans stand in need of nasihat and mu'idha, no matter what level of spirituality and taharat of qalb we may reach. But we can never get rid of this fariza, that we should, this moral duty of ours, that we should take nasihat and advice. even for the Imam al-Muslimin, we have a chapter where it says, you know, Babu Nushil Imam. Even for somebody who is the leader of the Islamic Ummah, leader of the Muslimin, it is sawab in Islam to give advice. But of course, having said that, we should keep in mind that somebody should advise any person who is has some type of, some level, some position, some rutbah. You know, it doesn't make sense that a lowly person who is spiritually lowly advises a person who is spiritually higher. Anybody who is spiritually higher is always okay for him to advise. And anybody who is spiritually lower should always be ready to accept it. You know, we have in Ayatullah al-Uzma, Shaykh Ansari, rahmatullahi alayh, one of the greatest maraji in our history, Sahib al-Rasail wal-Makasib, the one who has written the famous books Rasail and Makasib, which are part of the syllabus of every great Hausa system, learning system. These two books are part of the syllabus, and not just that, but our fuqaha say that anybody who can understand one page of the book of Makasib is a mujtahid. If you can pick up the book of Makasib and you can understand page number one or any other page of the book, you are a mujtahid. That's what it takes to be a mujtahid, because you cannot understand it. You can simply not understand one page of that book unless and until you have you have the malakatul ishtihad, you have the charisma of extracting the ahkam of Allah directly from the source. If you have that high level of knowledge, only then you will be able to understand any page of the book. Otherwise, you may never understand a single page of his book. It is so hard. So those books are part of the syllabus of the Hausa since more than 200 years. So the same Shaykh Ansari, who is so great in his personality, he used to go to Ayatullah al-Uzma, Ayatullah Mazen Darani, one of his classmates, to seek nasihat and advice every Thursday. Although Ayatullah Mazen Darani was not the marji, he was not followed by the Islamic Ummah in those days. In the Islamic Shia history, we find we always used to have one marji in the history. If you look at any duration of time, usually that was the case. Usually you will never find more than one marji in the entire history in any given period of time. Actually, in some of the periods, the people were mujtahideen were afraid to even issue fatwas, like in the time of Sheikh Tusi, Sheikh Abu Ja'far al-Tusi, who is the founder of the Hausa of Najaf. Even after, the history says, even after he passed away, for next 100 years, the mujtahideen were not ready to give fatwa against his fatwa because of his jalalat, his majesty, his azamat and greatness, and the great service that he, Sheikh Tusi, provided for Islam and tashayyu, because he is one of those scholars who was mujaddid. He did the tajdeed of Islam in the time when some other sects of Islam burnt his books, burnt the library, and he had to write down the Islamic book, and he had to write down and start teaching the religion and the Islamic sciences from the scratch. Although in those days, Najaf was not a city. It was a very, very, very tiny town, like a village. And a grave of Imam Ali alayhi salam was just one room, one single room. There was no shrine built on the grave. I'm talking about approximately 1100 years back. There was no shrine constructed on the grave of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And the house of Sheikh Tusi was one single room next to the room of the grave of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And he was writing books, he was teaching to the tulab, he started the hausa. Usually the maraji do not teach the Jami' al-Muqaddimat and the Muqaddimat and the basic sutuh, the basic books of the initial stages, they teach Bahth al-Kharij. Usually that's the case. But Shaykh Tusi is one of those maraji of our history who started to teach from Muqaddimat, from the basics, from the ABC, you can say it like that. Because the whole institution was damaged by some other sects of the Muslims of some other sects, damaged the whole institution. So, but he doesn't care about, he is a marje, so he should not teach anything else other than Bahth al-Kharij. He was so mutawadi and down to earth, he started to teach from the scratch. And somebody asked one of his students, somebody asked him that, did you go for the ziyarat of Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam? He said, no, I didn't go for the ziyarat of Imam Ali. His house is right next to the house of where Imam Ali is buried, in one room, and the next room is where he lives. He said, no, I didn't go for his ziyarat. He said, this person asked him, why didn't you go? He said, because what I'm doing, Imam Ali alayhi salam knows what I'm doing is more important than going for the ziyarat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. What I'm doing is aham. And he was right, because he was the one who protected the entire tashayyu. He defended the entire religion, and he safeguarded our books, and he was the one who wrote the biggest book of our Islamic jurisprudence. Back then, there was no other book better than that book written up till that time, which we call Kitabul Mabsut in 10 volumes. So Shaykh Tusi is the one who protected Islam in those days. And certainly, we have scholars like these, so there was nobody ready to give fatwa after 100 years of the wafat of Shaykh Tusi until the time of Ayatullah, you know, Ibn Idris came, and he was the first mujtahid after 100 years who issued the fatwa against the fatwa of Shaykh Tusi. So we have great maraja in the history and who were so great in their services and their sacrifices, but still they were so down to earth and they were ready to take nasihat. So there is no way a person, anybody who is a ghair ma'soom, who is not ready to accept maw'idha and nasihat from anyone who is spiritually higher from you. That's the anybody who is higher, or you know, sending somebody who has, we should be ready to take the nasihat. It is considered to be from the akhlaq, from the morals of the great personalities, because Imam Ali says, "An-nasihatu min akhlaqil kiram." I mean, the buzurg and great personalities, that's how they do. So we understand that the buzurg and great personalities are always ready to accept nasihat from others. And la khayra fi qawmin laysu bin nasihin. وَلَا يُحِبُّ النَّاسِحِينَ Imam Ali Islam says, somebody who is not ready to accept nasihat and somebody who is not ready to give nasihat, there's no khair in these two types of people. If you are not ready to do nasihat towards others, if you are not ready to accept nasihat from others, there is no khair in you. There is no goodness in your spirituality. And also, اسمعوا النصيحه. Listen to the nasihat from somebody who gifts it to you. Ahdaha. Again, the word is very important to pay attention. The ma'soom is using the word of hadiyah. Ahdaha. Somebody who gifts the nasihat to you. So when we are doing the nasihat, and of course this I am advising to my own self, before I can advise to you. When we do the nasihat, we should do it in a way, it's just like a gift. You are gifting something to somebody. When you are giving a gift to somebody, nobody feels bad. Isn't it right? You are giving a hadiyah to somebody. So that's how we are supposed to do nasihat, in a way that a person doesn't feel bad about that nasihat. Imam Ali alayhi salam has said that mararatul nusr anfa'u min halawatil ghash. That means the bitterness of nasihat. I mean, nasihat has a bitterness. When you listen to the nasihat of somebody, it sounds hard for you to accept it because it's bitter. And so the bitterness of nasihat is more beneficial than the halawat of deception. If somebody is doing zahir sazi, is basically tamalluk, is doing saying things in front of you, but on behind your back, he doesn't feel in the same way. So instead of me coming to you and zahir, according to zahir sazi, I come and say to you nice things, but I don't feel the same way about you in the batin. So it's better that a person is ready to accept the mararat and the bitterness of nasihat. So, you know, at least we have our zahir and batin as the same. And this is the real muhabbat. This is the real love, you know. There's a real friendship because, you know, if we are ready to guide each other on our faults, that's how we are actually the real friends, because we are now helping each other for the spirituality. Remember the story when Abu Dharr ayyara rajulan. Abu Dharr did some ta'yir, you know, sarzanish. He said something bad about somebody in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Narration says, Inna Abu Dharr ayyara rajulan. Abu Dharr did ta'yir. Ta'yir means sarzanish in Farsi and in Urdu. Sarzanish. You know, you talk bad in a demeaning way or in a bad sense. You talk to somebody mentioning his mother, talking in a bad way. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, أَتُعَيِّرُهُ بِأُمِّهِ يَا أَبَا ذَرَ. Yeah, I mean, you are doing this ta'yir, sarzanish in the name of his mother, in other words. So there's no, that means, why are you doing that? What is the fault of his mother? Why did you say that, in other words? Abu Dharr realized that he did wrong, and so, Abu Dharr is the person who later on reached the ninth level of Iman. So later on, reaching to that high level has a price, because he is ready to accept the nasihat. So when Prophet objected upon his behavior, the riwayat says that لا يزال أبو ذر يمرغ أنفه في التراب حتى رضي رسول الله. Abu Dharr started to rub his nose on the ground in front of Rasulullah in order to humiliate himself. So he kept on rubbing his nose on the ground until the Prophet became razi and pleased. So this is how the spiritual levels are achieved. We are talking about the mu'mineen, but even the ma'sumeen that I said in the beginning, they don't stand in need of nasihat because they don't have the sins. That's true. But still, despite the fact that the Anbiya and Ma'sumeen alayhi salatu wasalam were Ma'sum and they were infallible, they have no sins, but still we have stories which are actually an ibrat and a lesson for us. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, Inna rajulan ja'a ila Isa ibn Maryama alayhi salam, faqala lahu ya ruhallah inni zanaytu fatahhirni. A person came to Hazrat Isa, son of Mary, and said, "Oh Ruhullah, I did zina, so you clean me." Cleaning me means apply the punishment of Allah on me so that I get clean. فَأَمَرَ عِيسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ أَنْ يُنَادَ فِي النَّاسِ. Hazrat Isa, Islam was the same Islam for all the prophets. They all of them were Muslims, you know. And all of them were practicing the same religion, Islam, with some minor changes taking place in the Sharia, very minor in micro details, which makes sense according to the needs of the time. But the mainstream religion was exactly the same. They were all Muslims, you know. So basically, Isa was a Muslim practicing the same religion that we practice today. There were minor differences, very small micro differences. The main religion was exactly the same. So the same, there was used to be the same punishment of zina what exists today. So we find similar punishment. So Hazrat Isa asked that announcement should be made among the people. لَا يَبْقَى أَحَدٌ إِلَّا خَرَجَ لِتَطْهِيرُ الرَّجُلُ. So everybody in the town, everybody came out for cleaning this person. فِي الْحُفْرَةِ. He was put in a ditch. نَادَ الرَّجُلُ فِي الْحُفْرَةِ لَا يُحِدُّنِي لَا يُحُدُّنِي مَنْ لِلَّهِ فِي جَنْبِهِ حَدٌ. The guy was put into the ditch, ready for the punishment to be applied upon him, and from inside the ditch he shouted, nobody should do the punishment upon me if he has any had of Allah applying on him. If you did any crime for which there is a had in the Sharia, then you get off. You don't have the right to put the punishment on me, because you yourself deserve the had from Allah. First of all, it should be clear that the punishments in Islam and Islamic fiqh are of two types. We have hudud and we have ta'zirat. Hudud are those types of punishments which are fixed in the Holy Quran. Ta'zirat are those punishments which are not fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. Instead, ta'zirat are left up to the discretion of the Islamic qazi and judge, who has to be a mujtahid adil. Only a mujtahid can be a judge in Islam. No one can do a judgment, no one can be a judge other than an adil mujtahid. So hudud are those punishments which are fixed by Allah in the Quran. Ta'zir are those punishments which are not fixed by Allah, left up to the discretion and ikhtiyar and judgment of the qazi. He can do anything madun al-had, the least, anything lower than the lowest had. The lowest had in Islam is for mashroob, sharab qari, for mashroob and khamr, sharab qari, which is 80 slashes. That's the lowest punishment of the hudud. So the qazi, who is exercising his discretionary power for the ta'zirat, can do anything from, scolding a person, slapping a person, up till 79 slashes. Because 80 slashes is the lowest had. So he has the right to do anything lower than the lowest had. So what is lower than the lowest had is 79 slashes. And this is the discretionary powers and limits of the qazi in Islam. So this guy, and from the ditch, he said to the whole crowd who has gathered for applying the had of Allah on him, he said, if any one of you has any had of Allah applying on you, then you get off, you don't have the right to punish me. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, فَانْصَرَفَ النَّاسْ كُلُّهُمْ إِلَّا يَحْيَى وَعِيسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. Everybody went away from the whole people who came. Everybody has to go away. Everybody went away except Hazrat Isa and Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam. Now look at the situation of the community who came in those days. People were sinners. And now there are two persons left, and both of them are prophets of God and ma'soom, Hazrat Yahya and Hazrat Isa. فَدَنَا مِنْهُ يَحْيَى. Hazrat Yahya came close. We are talking about nasihat tonight. Hazrat Yahya came close to the guy and said, فَقَالَ يَهُ لَهُ يَا مُذْنِبْ عِذْنِي. He asked the person to give nasihat, give some advice to me. Hazrat Yahya is asking this sinner to advise him. Can you imagine? I mean, a person who is himself ma'soom. This is a lesson for us. فَقَالَ لَهُ لَا تُخَلِّيَنَّ بَيْنَ نَفْسِكَ وَبَيْنَ هَوَاهَا فَتَرْضَى. That means, don't leave a gap between yourself and your desire. You will go down. You will go to destruction. So basically, we shouldn't put a gap between us and our desires. Don't allow a margin for your desires to kick in and then derail you away from the straight path, in other words. And so, قَالَ زِدْنِي. Hazrat Yahya said to him, okay, give me some more nasihat. He said, لا تعيرن خاطئا بخطيئته. So don't do the ta'yir, don't do the sarzanish of any person who did a mistake. Don't do ta'yir and sarzanish on his mistake. And then Hazrat Yahya said again, قَالَ زِدْنِي, give me some more advice. And he said, لَا تَغْضِبْ, قَالَ حَسْبِ. Last thing he said, okay, keep away from غَضَبْ, which is of course correct, because the main cause of all the sins is nothing but two, غَضَبْ and شَهَوَةً. That means anger, problem, and the desires. These are the two main reasons which causes for us to do the sins. If we can control our ghadab, and if we control our anger and our desires, we will be clear from the sins. This is about the hadith narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam about Prophet Isa and Yahya. We have another hadith which is about our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله لجبرائيل. Prophet said to Jibreel once. Well, Jibreel is first of all a student of Rasulullah and Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and the same Noor of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. He learned from the Noor of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Everything he learned from him. And Jibreel was made as Sayyidul Malaika and the head of all the angels because of his service, because of his love towards Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wa salam. So Malaika are basically the students of the Noor of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. And Malaika are way lower than the Anbiya. Isn't that right? All the angels did sajda to Hazrat Adam. Isn't that right? So Hazrat Adam is superior than all the angels including Jibreel. Isn't that right? Because all the angels, فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ. كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ. Look at the ta'kidat from Allah, ta'kid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the angels did the sajda, without exception. So all the angels are subordinates, khadim, servants, inferior than Hazrat Adam. We are talking about our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whose names and the Noor were seen by Prophet Adam, and after 300 years of crying when he was taken out from the Jannat and Paradise, and Jibreel came after 300 years. For 300 years Hazrat Adam was crying and crying and crying for the Tarkul Awla that he did, which is not a sin, but it's something that better to avoid, but he didn't. So then after 300 years Jibreel came and asked him to seek tawbah from Allah because of the barakat, because of those names that he saw, which were the names of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. So the tawbah of Hazrat Adam is accepted with the greatness and azamat of the names of Ahlul Bayt. And the Noor of Ahlul, how can you compare the angels with the Ahlul Bayt when Hazrat Adam is superior than all the angels? And his tawbah is accepted because of their names, their Noor. It is insult of the Prophet to compare him with the Malaika. It's an insult of the Holy Prophet, because the hadith says, Sabbahna fa sabbahatil Malaika. We did the tasbih, and later on, and then Malaika did the tasbih. So Malaika learned, they didn't know how to do the tasbih of Allah. They learned the ABC of tasbih of Allah from the Noor of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So they are the students from every aspect. There's no way you can compare them. So we find that the same Holy Prophet who is so high is now asking Jibreel, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ لِجِبْرَئِيلِ عِذْنِي, do مَوْعِذَا تُوَذْنِي. That means give me some nasihat. He doesn't need to take no nasihat from Jibreel. Jibreel learned everything from him. But look at the tawadhu of Rasulullah, which is a lesson for us. I mean, he doesn't stand in need, but we stand in need of nasihat. فَقَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ, Jibreel said, O Muhammad, عِشْمَ شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ, live for whatever you want to live, as long as you want to live, in other words, live as long as you wish, but in other words, keep in mind that you are going to die. So when we are living a life, we should keep our death in our minds. We should live a life by keeping death in our minds. That's the first nasihat of Jibreel. Second nasihat. Well, these are very important points, because an angel is made of noor. He is not like us. We are made from soil. So angel can never think of disobedience. Because he has no shahwat and desires ingrained in his creation. We can think of doing sins, and we can think of doing obedience, because we are made from soil. But angels cannot even think of disobedience. So anything that comes from him has to be obedience of Allah. The second advice that he gave to the Prophet, أحبب وأحبب ما شئت فإنك مفارقه. Love whatever you wish. That means love whatever thing, whatever person, whatever you want to love in this, in your life. Remember, a day will arrive that you are going to be separated from your beloved. So whatever we love in this world, remember, it's not going to remain forever. وَأْمَلْ مَا شَئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُلَاقِيهِ. Do whatever you wish to do, you are going to meet what you did. That means, of course, we believe in Ilm al-Kalam, we believe تَجَسُّمُ الْأَعْمَالِ. Our actions will be personified. So we will meet our prayers that we perform. We will meet our Hajj in the grave. We will meet our Zakat and Khums and Fitra in the grave. We will meet our help that we provide to fellow mu'min brothers in our grave. We will meet our A'mal Saliha in the grave and on the Day of Judgment in the form of Noor, personified in the form of Noor or in the form of Zulmat. So we will meet our actions. Whatever you do, remember, do whatever you wish, you are going to meet it. You will meet your own action then. And then he said, شَرَفُ الْمُؤْمِنْ صَلَاتُهُ بِاللَّيْلِ. The nobility of a mu'min is his salatul layl. وَعِزُّهُ كَفُّهُ عَنْ أَعْرَاضِ النَّاسِ. And his dignity and honor of a mu'min is keeping away from the khuddari, keeping away from the namus, from the irv, from the honors of the people. That means we don't harm people's dignity. We don't put anything against people's honor. So this is what we find about nasihat. And not just that, but Imam Ali Rasulullah wasalam has said that إِنَّ أَنْصَحَ النَّاسِ أَنْصَحُهُمْ لِلنَّفْسِهِ. That means the person who deserves to give nasihat most is the one who performs nasihat towards himself. No nasihat of any person is going to benefit me unless and until I am ready to do nasihat of my own self. If I am ready to do nasihat towards my own self, then anybody else nasihat is going to benefit. Otherwise, if a person himself is not ready and receptive, no matter what you say, it's not going to work. So there has to be an effectiveness from both ways. Effectiveness from the kalam of the person doing nasihat. Effectiveness in his kalam, in his talk, in his speech will come when he himself practices. Effectiveness in the acceptance and the accommodative nature of the person who is listening to nasihat. We should be receptive. We should be ready to accommodate. So it works both ways. That's how there will be a desired result. If a person has the best of the a'mal and taharat of the qalb and he does nasihat, but we don't have the reception, we don't accept it because we don't have the accommodating nature, we are stubborn in our behaviors and habits, nothing is going. Even if the Holy Prophet comes to do nasihat, it's not going to work. It's not the fault of the Prophet. There's no fault in his speech either. The fault is inside me. I'm not a good receptor. I don't accept. I'm stubborn in my nature. There is no cure for stubbornness. No prophet has any cure for stubbornness. So, when we find the prophet You know, so we find in the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, one of his followers was named Shakrani. He drank alcohol. He drank alcohol. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam once met him somewhere on a street. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, of course the Ma'soom knows what to say and how to say. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said to Shakrani that إِنَّ الْحَسَنَ مِنْ كُلِّ أَحَدٍ حَسَنٌ وَإِنَّهُ مِنْكَ أَحْسَنْ لِمَكَانِكَ مِنَّا. A good is good from everyone, but it is better because you have a relation with us. You have some makan, that means you have basically a connection with us, in other words. So, and الْقَبِيحُ مِنْ كُلِّ أَحَدٍ قَبِيحٍ إِنَّ الْقَبِيحَ مِنْ كُلِّ أَحَدٍ قَبِيحٍ وَإِنَّهُ مِنْكَ أَقْبَحٍ. And a bad thing is a bad from everybody. Whoever does the bad thing is a bad thing, it means. But it's considered to be worse if it is done by you. So if a lover of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam performs a good deed, it's not simply a good deed, it's better than the same deed done by somebody else who has no relation towards Ahlul Bayt. And if somebody who is a lover of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam performs a bad deed, it's not a bad deed only, it's worse. Because he's a lover of Ahlul Bayt, is one of us not supposed to do that. So, just like what is similar to what is said about the Sayyids, if a Sayyid performs a good deed, it is considered to be li muhsinina kiflani min al ajr. How Imam Ridha alayhi salam, when he discovered one of his relatives was one of the Hashimi Sayyids, his relative was sitting somewhere, was there, and he was describing and praising himself in front of the crowd. And Imam Ridha alayhi salam objected upon him. I mean, you are just like Baqal hai Kufa. You know, like the shopkeepers of Kufa talk to you. What are you doing here, in other words? I mean, praising yourself in front of the peer. We are Sayyidah like this, we are this, we are this. What is this going on, in other words? And Imam Ridha alayhi salam condemned his behavior, praising himself in front of the crowd. We Sayyids are like this, we Sayyids are like this, whatever. Similar to that. And then Imam Ridha alayhi salam had said to him, لِمُحْسِنِنَا كِفْلَانِ مِنَ الْأَجْرِ. And one of us, that is one of the Sayyids who performs a good deed, has double of the reward. Wale musi'ina, and the person amongst us, if anybody performs a bad deed, he has double of the punishment. So that's exactly true, because you have a nisbat, you have a relation to Ahlul Bayt. It earns a bad name for them as well. So this is important. So we find when Imam Al-Kazim alayhi salatu was salam, was walking in one of the streets of Baghdad, Imam was forcibly brought, we know, from Medina to Baghdad, spent years and years, approximately 14 years in different prisons, transferred from one prison up to the other. And he's the Imam who spent the largest duration in the prison. So Imam Al-Kazim alayhi salam was once walking in the street of Baghdad, and that's where he heard this voice of song, singing, coming from the house. Imam Kazim alayhi salam is walking and the voice of a song is coming out of the house. So we find that Imam alayhi salam, and this, there's a female servant, came out of the house throwing the garbage. Imam saw this servant and he asked him, is the owner of the house a slave or a free man? And this female servant replied, no, the owner is he's a free man. I mean, he's hur, he's azad, he's a free man. Imam alayhi salam said, لَوْ كَانَ عَبْدًا لَخَافَ مِنْ مَوْلَاهُ. Such a small statement, which seems to be a very simple sentence. But sometimes you never know, something clicks into the mind of a person. We should always keep on doing the nasihat and never come to a point that, well, it's not going to be effective unless we are 100% sure. Even if you have a 1% chance of ta'seer and effectiveness, Amr bin Ma'ruf is still wajib. Unless if you are 100% sure and you have no ihtimal of ta'seer, then Amr and Nahi is no longer wajib. So Imam Qadim alayhi salam said this small sentence, لَوْ كَانَ عَبْدًا لَخَافَ مِنْ مَوْلَاهُ. If he was a servant, he was a slave, abd, you know, ghulam. He was an abd and ghulam and slave of Allah, in other words. He would have been afraid from his Mawla. Mawla is Allah. This small sentence. And Imam alayhi salam walked away. And so there was this conversation taking place. This female servant, after throwing the garbage, she went back. Yeah, she went inside the house a little bit late because he was busy in the conversation with Imam Qadim alayhi salam. She didn't know who the Imam, this is Imam Qadim alayhi salam, but she was talking to him. She came back inside the house a bit late. So this guy, we call him Bushr al-Hafi in the history. He asked her about why she was late, and she said, well, there was a guy passing by in the street and he asked me, is the owner a free man or a slave? And I said, no, the owner is a free man. And then he said that لو كان عبدًا, if he was a slave, he would have been afraid of his Mawla. So this sentence was shocking for him. As if, you know, there's an electric shock. More than that, for Bushr al-Hafi, he was moved. And from this sentence, because there were some women in his house. And people used to invite women in their house for singing purposes in their house. Like today we have the concerts, and you go to the marriage ceremonies of some of the Shias, some of the Mu'mineen, mashallah, who have singings and dancings going on in their marriage and other anniversaries. And then we accept the barakat, you know, may Allah give barakat to this marriage. And this bride and bridegroom, may Allah give barakah. Why? How does the barakah come in? Barakah comes through harams. Barakah comes when the angels bring the barakah in your house. Why will an angel made of noor will come to a place where there is zulmat? It doesn't make no logic, no sense. Doesn't add up. And angels don't come to a place of zulmat. They come to a place where there is noor. So the noor attracts noor, and zulmat and darkness of sins attracts zulmat and darkness. The zulmat of sins can never attract noor and divine light. As simple as that. So this guy, Bushr al-Hafi, was shocked from the statement. He ran out of his house barefooted. That's why in Arabic we call him al-Hafi. He is one of the ruwat. We have like 18,700 something ruwat in total, who have narrated the riwayat, and thousands of narrations from the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. You combine all the Ravi, all the narrators of the Islamic history, and it turns out to be approximately 18,700 something, 36, 34, something like that. So 18,700 Ruwat narrators in total. He is one of the Ruwat. He has some of the narrations as well, because later on he became Adil. He quit the haram and fisk. And he is one of the narrators, Bushr al-Hafi, Bushr the barefooted, because he ran from his house towards the outside without wearing shoes. He just was shocked and he just ran behind. That's how he was called al-Hafi, barefooted. So finally, he ran after the Imam. He discovered that this dead person was Imam al-Qadim alayhi salam. So he met with the Imam. And Imam alayhi salam, and he said that he was so much moved by the Imam, he has his tears flowing in his eyes. Our Imam had Jalal and Majesty, Haybat, of course, because of their Nuraniyat and Ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People coming in front of them started to cry. He dropped himself at the feet of the Imam, and he was crying. And he said, Mawla, I was ghafil. I was ignorant. And your statement has shook me. Now I have realized my faults. And is there a way that my tawbah can be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Imam said, yes, but on the condition that you give away, you quit all those filth and all those bad things, in other words. And so basically, and you throw away all the alatul lahv and la'ib, all those musical instruments, throw them away. He did the same, and of course he became one of the zuhad of the city and one of the pious people. But there are some people who are qasiyul qalb. They are stone-hearted. No matter what you say, nasihat, nothing happens to them. There is no change in their life. Listening to majalis of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, their fawail, their mata'ib, their beautiful attributes, their akhlaq, but there is no change in their souls. It's the same. Because the problem is in their own spirituality. Unless they address themselves, nothing is going to change. Even if they are ready to do the tawbah themselves, they need to take the first step. Step number one, accept the faults and do the tawbah. Make a change in their behaviors. Give away the stubbornness. So Imam Hussain alayhi salam, you find that Imam Hussain alayhi salam, whenever the masoom finds any slightest sign of change in a person, that's where they strike right on the time, on point, properly. If there is a sign of hidayah, this is the al-hidayah bil-amr. This is the job of an imam, which makes him distinguish and mumtaz from the nabi. Because that's not the job of the nabi in ilm al-kalam. It's the job of the imam to do al-hidayah bil-amr. جَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. So this is the job of the imam, to do hidayat bil-amr. So Wahab al-Kalbi, salamullahi alayh, was a non-Muslim. And imam, he was avoiding Imam Hussain alayhi salam, because he was also, his caravan was moving towards, he is moving with his family towards Iraq, and Imam Hussain is also traveling towards Iraq. And he is trying to avoid Imam Hussain alayhi salam. He knew it's the son of the Prophet is there, in that caravan, he's trying to avoid. He's a non-Muslim. But there was a sign of, there's a ray of hope. And Imam Hussain al-Islam sent a message to him. And Wahab al-Kalbi came back, and after meeting with the Imam Hussain al-Islam, the Imam of his time, for a few minutes, there is an inqilab and change taking place in his. He was totally a different person. Because there was a receptor, the receptor was on inside your soul. You didn't turn it to the off mode. You have to turn the receptor on first to accommodate. And now he changed his whole family, converted them into Islam. And now he's ready to sacrifice. He becomes among Ahlul Yaqeen. Not just that. Because remember, Imam Hussain al-Islam, in the night before Ashura, he had showed the position to each and every single person of his qafila. Imam Hussain showed their status inside the paradise. The hijabat were removed and everybody saw their place in the paradise, including Wahab al-Kalbi. So he's Ahlul Yaqeen. He's not an ordinary person. He's Ahlul Yaqeen. Can you be changed in the matter of approximately 13 days? Now he's into Islam for the last 13 days, approximately. Approximately 13 days ago, he was a non-Muslim. In the matter of 13 days, you can become among Ahlul Yaqeen. This is how, what we call Al-Hidayah Bil-Amr of the Ma'soom alayhi salam. So he's ready to provide Hidayat, but there has to be, our receptors should be turned on first from inside. And this is how about we, if we have love, our love towards the Ahlul Bayt will always facilitate. And Imam Hussain alayhi salam also loves us if we are the lover of Imam Hussein. They said, love is always tarafaini. If you find a love from one-sided, this is not called love in Arabic. A love is always tarafaini. It's dual-sided thing. Imam Hussein also loves the lovers of Ahlul Bayt. The way you love him, he loves you as well. Actually, they are more latif. They have more lutf on us than we can ever think of. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you see, remember what the Prophet has said, that, you know, man arada an yanzura ila ahabbi ahli al-ard was-sama' falyanzur ila al-Hussein. Whoever wants to look at the most beloved person among the dwellers of heaven and the dwellers of earth, you should look towards Hussein. And Allahumma inni uhibbuhuma. Prophet said, oh my Lord, I love them. That means Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. I love them. Fa ahibbahuma. You also love them. Wa ahibba man yuhibbuhuma. And you love those who love them. So anybody who loves Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein is the confirmed beloved of Allah. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam loves the prayers. So in the night before Ashura, when Umar ibn Sa'd was about to attack the khaymah, the camp of Imam Hussein asked Abu al-Fadl Abbas to seek further time, to get further time of one night. Because Hussein, Imam wanted to spend his night in the, he loves the prayers. Allah knows, anni uhibbu salata. Allah knows that I love prayers. Imam Hussein used to love the prayers so much. And now, throughout the night, Imam Hussein's camp is busy in salat and prayers and tilawat and munajat and istighfar. And we find in the morning time, you know, despite the fact that there was Hajjaj ibn Masruq available, the muazzin, but Imam Hussein asks Ali Akbar to say the adhan. Ali Akbar comes forward and says the adhan on the morning of Ashura in the lahja, lahjatul Rasul. In the lahja and tone of Rasulullah. Ashbahun nas khalqan wa khulqan wa mantiqan bi rasulik. The most resembling person in terms of his creation, his appearance, in terms of his akhlaq and morals, in terms of his speech. Nobody has a son like Ali Akbar, so we can't understand. We can't understand how much great he is unless we have a son like ourselves like him. We can't understand what happened to Imam Hussein's qalb. How much sorrow he has to face, because we don't have a son like that. We can never understand the sorrow of Imam Hussein. So we find that after the adhan of Ali Akbar, the Imam Hussein is standing there, and all the Bani Hashim are alive, all the Ashab are alive, and they are praying behind Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And we find as soon as the salat of Fajr is done, Umar ibn Sa'd addresses his army men and saying, be a witness before Yazid that I was the first person who threw the arrow against Hussein. They wanted to get reward from the Tahut. Isn't that right? They wanted to get reward from Tahut. So, there are so many mu'mineen who still want to get do tamalluk of Tahut today. Isn't that right? So we find that he wanted to get the reward from the Tahut Yazid. And the riwayat says, 3,000 arrows came. After the first arrow was shot by Umar ibn Sa'd, la'anatullahi alayh, 3,000 arrows came towards Imam Hussein's khaymah, towards Imam Hussein's camp. And several of the ashab of Imam Hussein became shaheed in this first attack. And now, when the time of Zuhr arrives, and Abu Thumama As-Sa'idi came forward and said to the Imam that this is the time of the Zuhr prayers. This is the time of prayers. Imam alayhi salam said that, you know, Zakarta Salata, Ja'alaka Allahu min al-Musallin al-Zakirin. You made to recall the prayers. May Allah include you among those who remember Allah and among those who pray. So Abu Thumama records the prayers on time, and Naam hada awwal waqtaha saluhum an yakuffu anna hatta nusalli. Yes, this is the beginning time of that prayers of the prayer. Ask them to stop the war so we can pray. He sent Habib ibn Madahir. Habib ibn Madahir was gone, and he asked the people of Umar ibn Sa'd's army to stop the war for a while because Hussein wants to pray. But somebody replied back, your prayers will no longer be accepted after rejecting the Khilafat of Yazid. Your prayers are no longer accepted by Allah. And Habib ibn Mazahir got very angry. He took his sword and he was about to fight. And Imam Hussein stopped him that this was the time of prayers. Look at the principles and values of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein stopped Habib ibn Mazahir because that was the time of prayers. Habib came back and now Sa'id and Zuhair, two of the great companions of Imam Hussein, they are volunteering. Volunteering for what? Volunteering to sacrifice themselves to stand in front of Imam Hussein so that Hussein ibn Ali can say his prayers. Look at the greatness. You know, one person saw in his dream, it was not a big deal for Sa'id and Zuhair to come and stand in front of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam. If I was there in Karbala, I can do the same thing. I can also stand in front of Imam Hussein. He saw this dream, he had this thought in his mind, and then when he slept, he saw the dream that this is the Karbala time, Imam Hussein is there, and this guy is standing in front of Imam Hussein. And whenever an arrow is coming towards Imam Hussein, he moves on the other side to save his life. And the arrow strikes the son of Fatima, Hussein ibn Ali. Imam Hussein gets injured. Next time the second arrow comes, and it is coming towards him, he again moves towards the side and the arrow again strikes Imam Hussein. And finally, he sees in the dream, when the Zuhr prayers ends, Imam Hussein alayhi salam falls down. Because he is so majroof, he is so injured by all the arrows that struck him, that this guy could not defend and he was saving his life. So then he woke up and he did the tawbah and he said, we cannot be like you, Sa'id and Zuhair. Salam, you know, of course we send our salam to the Azamat of Sa'id and Zuhair. You know, this guy, these two mu'mineen are standing in front of Imam Hussein. Whenever an arrow is coming, sometimes Sa'id moves forward and takes the arrow over his chest. Instead of Zuhair taking it, he moves forward himself. Sometimes Zuhair moves forward, instead of Sa'id taking the arrow, he takes the arrow on his chest. And by the time Imam Hussein did his Zuhr prayers, and he did his final salam of the prayers, Sa'id and Zuhair fell down on the ground of Karbala, and they said their final salam to Imam Hussein. They both fell down because they are now full of their injuries. And look at the love of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein comes close to Sa'id. He picks up the head of Sa'id, puts it in his lap, and Sa'id says this sentence to Imam Hussein, Hal wafaytu yabna Rasulullah. Aya wafa namudan. Maine wafa to dikha di na. Moran, I was faithful towards you. Isn't that right? And Imam Hussein replied, Naam, Anta Amami fil Jannah. Yes, you are ahead of me in the paradise. And Imam also came next to Zuhair. He put his head in his lap. Zuhair said the same. And Imam replied in the same way. But this is the time of Zuhr prayers. Brothers and sisters, when we find the time of Asr prayers arrive, the situation is totally different from the Fajr and totally different from the Zuhr prayers. Because by the time of Asr, there is nobody from Banu Hashim who is alive. There is nobody from Ashab of Imam Hussein, his companions. There is nobody among them who is alive. Imam Hussein is alone. And Imam Hussein is lying over the soil of Karbala. You know, you find that for the person who is in his final moments, it is said, don't put any burden over his chest. But we find in the final moments of Imam Hussein, Hazrat Zainab, when she was standing on the Tilla-i Zainabiyya and she was watching her brother, Imam Hussein was there. وَالشِّمْرُ جَالِسٌ عَلَىٰ صَدْرِهِ. Shimr was sitting over the chest of Imam Hussein and slaughtering Imam Hussein. And she addressed the crowd by saying, أَيُقْتَلُ أَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ وَأَنْتَ تَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ. You know, Imam Hussein is being killed, in other words, and you are watching. And then she says the sentence, أَمَا فِيكُمْ مُسْلِمْ. Isn't there a Muslim person among you? Ha ha ha! على رحمة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها السر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه تجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين Please recite one سورة الفاتحة for Mahuma Gulbano, the wife of Brother Hamid Hupa, and three times Surah Al-Ikhlas.